Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Well, it's New Year's Eve, and that means lots of people will be thinking about the new year, thinking about resolutions, thinking about making radical changes. But what can you do to make them stick? I'll give you some practical tips today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire on this New Year's Eve broadcast. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. I won't be taking calls. You can weigh in on Facebook, though, as always, at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on our Facebook page. And let me wish you personally from my heart a wonderfully blessed new year. A new year that as you press into God, you'll experience Him in ways you never have before. A new year in which the goodness of God will be revealed to you. The truth of God will flood your soul. A new year in which you will bear much fruit in Jesus. And a new year, if you're listening to me and you have no clue what in the world I'm talking about or who I am or who this Jesus is, a new year where you will come to know God in a personal, life-changing way. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says that when we celebrate the secular new year that we should have a time of making major resolutions. But I think it's healthy to self-examine. I think it's healthy to look at our lives, to honestly assess our lives, to say, okay, a year has gone by. Where am I? Maybe you've gone through a calamitous year. Maybe you're just glad to have survived the year. Maybe you can't wait for this year to end, for a new year to start, because you think the new year can't possibly be as bad as the last. And if that's the situation you find yourself in, may the grace of God carry you. May the Lord strengthen you in these coming days. May everything that's been meant for evil be turned for good. And may I encourage you not to get bitter. May I encourage you not to lose hope. May I remind you that at creation, according to Genesis 1, there was evening and then morning, meaning that light often follows darkness in the work of God. That being said, for many others, you're listening to me and you're thinking, okay, I want to see change in the new year. You're looking at your life honestly. And look, what good is it if we're dishonest with ourselves? Come on, how does that help anything? You read about, for example, high blood pressure, and people call it a silent killer because people don't realize they're suffering from it, and then they have a heart attack, and sometimes a fatal heart attack, and that's when they realize, okay, there was a problem, and it's too late to do something about it. What good is it if we are dishonest with ourselves? What good is it if we deceive ourselves? Isn't it better that we know the truth? That's why the Word says in Proverbs 27 that open rebuke is better than secret love. It says that the kisses of an enemy may be profuse, but the wounds of a friend are faithful. So if we examine ourselves in the sight of a loving God, a God who is not out to condemn us, a God who does not delight in destroying us, a God who is not out to find fault so that He can laugh at our weaknesses, maybe that's the way some of you were raised, maybe that's the way some of you live today, that your family time is spent in putting one another down and criticizing one another and making fun of one another. That's not who God is. That's not who God is. If you come to an honest assessment that you've been blowing your life, if you come to an honest assessment that you've been wasting your life, if you come to an honest assessment that you have been backsliding spiritually, well, I don't mean backsliding in the sense that you've completely lost your faith and denied the Lord and walked away from Him, but backsliding in the sense of going backwards from where you were spiritually, backsliding in the sense of you were a certain place in God and you're not there anymore. If you honestly evaluate that before God, even if there's some conviction with it, even if there's some sense of guilt in a recognition of, okay, I've blown it or I've dishonored the Lord, I want to assure you that God is not out to condemn you. God did not send His Son into the world, John 3, excuse me, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. How much more then for those of us who are his children is he not out to condemn us, but to help us so that we can glorify him in this world, so that we can know him, so that we can experience his goodness and his grace. So I want to encourage you first to be honest with yourself before God. I want to encourage you first to look at your own life and to ask yourself in the sight of God how you feel about this year that's just gone past. To ask yourself, can you even account for it? Some of us, life is such a blur that it's hard to even account for the last 24 hours or the last week, let alone the last year. But take a look at where you are right now and ask yourself how you feel about it. I mean, sometimes it's easy to do that with physical, earthly things, isn't it? Okay, the car I'm driving, the house I live in, the money in the bank, or the debt that I have, or whatever the situation is in the natural. Sometimes it's easy to look at that and assess that and say, okay, I got to do better for my family, or we've got to get out of the situation, or there's so many things I've desired to do and I can't do, or I'm burning to take these steps in the Lord, but finances and other things are holding me back. Sometimes that's easier to assess, and that's part of our assessment. But on a deeper level, beyond what you can see, beyond the outward, yeah, you can assess the physical shape you're in, at least to what you're able to analyze. You can assess if you're out of weight, you can't go up the steps without collapsing from being out of breath. Okay, you can assess those kinds of things, but and that's important. It's important. There's no need to kill ourselves prematurely to make ourselves ineffective. But beyond that, beyond the physical things that the eyes can see, what is your spiritual condition at the end of the year? How is your relationship with God? What is the effectiveness of your life in God? Are you bearing fruit? Are you making a positive impact? Are you helping others grow in God? What kind of impact do you have when you walk into a room full of people? Is it bringing life? Is it neutral? Is it bringing death? It's interesting that George Whitefield, John Wesley, known as two of the greatest Christian leaders in the 1700s, were called Methodists when they were at Oxford University, and that was a disparaging name given to them, the group that Wesley and others led, the Holy Club, because they were so methodical in analyzing their lives, even as they came into the fullness of the grace of God and understood that it wasn't by their good works that they were saved. They were still very methodical about examining their lives. And George Whitefield, at the end of a day, he lived from 1714 to 1770 and was considered to be the greatest preacher of his day. Benjamin Franklin once did an experiment when Whitefield was preaching in the States, and he walked backwards step at a time, until he could no longer hear Whitefield's voice. Remember, this is without amplification. This is without a sound system. He walked 1 mile from the meeting. Of course, there was not all the outside noise that we'd be used to. 1 mile away, he could hear Whitefield preach. It's almost unimaginable. It's the pair of lungs he had, but bigger than his lungs was his heart for God. But Whitefield analyzed himself. Each night, he would judge his actions for the day. I copied these out in my book, How Saved Are We? Listen to this. 15 criteria by which he analyzed every day of his life. Have I, 1, been fervent in private prayer? 2, you stated hours of prayer. 3, use spontaneous vocal prayer each hour. I'm updated some of the English to make it more understandable. 4, after or before every delivered conversation or action, considered how it might tend to God's glory. 5, after each pleasure, immediately given thanks. 6, planned business for the day. 7, been simple and self-controlled in everything. 8, been zealous in undertaking and active in doing what good I could. 9, been meek, cheerful, affable, and everything I said or did. 10, been proud, vain, unchaste, or enviable of others. 11, been self-controlled in eating and drinking. Thankful, temperate in sleep. 12, taken time for giving thanks according to William Law's rules. 13, been diligent in studies. 14, thought or spoken unkindly of anyone. 15, confessed all sins. Whoa! Every day, he examined himself, he looked at himself, he got on the spiritual scale, so to say, and checked out his weight, spiritually speaking. He got out the spiritual doctor's report and did a self-analysis to see, okay, am I glorifying the Lord? And, you know, the amazing thing is, faithful in little, faithful in much. The amazing thing is that when you do check your life, when you do examine things, when you are more diligent in looking at what the Word says and then examining your own life next to it, it's amazing how easy it is to correct habits. It's amazing how easy it is to recognize where things are off, as opposed to 6 months or a year or 5 years goes by, we find ourselves in a crisis and we suddenly say, okay, what do I do? So what I want to talk to you about on this New Year's Eve 2010, what I want to talk to you about is some practical ways where you can see lasting change come in your life. Now, I want to say this up front. There's nothing magical. There's no magic button that you push. You know, I found out years ago that reading a book on dieting does not cause weight to come out, the weight to come off. It doesn't suddenly just disappear because you're reading a book. No, if the book is giving you practical wisdom, you've got to live that out. So no mystical cures here, no magic buttons pushed. However, same practical wisdom from the Lord, along with encouragement, along with exhortation, because I, like you, want to see Jesus glorified while I have breath. I, like you, want to see the kingdom advance. I, like you, want to make the maximum impact that I can while I have an opportunity here on this earth. Let us go for it, friends. The time really is now. Thanks so much for joining us on this special New Year's Eve broadcast, December 31st, 2010, a day once it is past will never be recovered. Michael Brown, I am glad to be with you. Won't be taking calls today, but you can always visit our website, weigh in there at askdrbrown.org. Just click on the line of fire. And hey, if you feel inclined, be it with a large gift or a small gift, to say to me, Dr. Brown, we believe in what you're doing. We want to stand with you. We want to send you encouragement as you reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as you raise up, send out missionaries around the world, as you help be a voice for moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. We believe in what you're doing. We're personally blessed by it, and we want to thank you. It would really mean a lot to us, and it would be a tremendous blessing if you did that. Just go to askdrbrown.org, click on support. And best of all, if you could stand with us on a monthly basis, that would be tremendous. We're talking about ways to bring about lasting change in our lives. And I said that at the outset in the first segment, that being honest with ourselves is where it all starts. God began to convict me in 1982 that I had been gradually backsliding. Many of you know my testimony. Saved in 1971. I was a heroin shooting, LSD using rebellious teenage rock drummer. God wonderfully saved me as a young lost Jewish man. I got so hungry for God by the time I was saved for about a year. I'd spend a good 6 hours alone with God every day. I mean alone in a quality way, in my room, meeting with God, on my knees, in the Word, praying. Pray at least 3 hours every day. I would read the Word at least 2 hours every day, memorize Scripture 1 hour every day. I could memorize 20 verses in 1 hour, just to memorize 20 verses a day. Would share the gospel with at least one new person every day. It was just lifestyle for me. Went to church services five times a week and just loved being there. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Well, actually, Sunday, five nights, and then Sunday morning. And I just was so excited about the Lord and so overflowing with Jesus, and I couldn't wait to tell somebody else about him. Couldn't wait to close my door and meet with the Lord in the privacy of my room. By the time I was saved 11 years, I was still seriously committed to the Lord. I was still considered a good example to many. When I did preach in my home church, I would preach passionately. But it was different. It was different because I was getting so theologically sophisticated. I was getting close to finishing up my PhD work at NYU in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures. And for me, there was an intellectual pride that began to come in, a theological pride. It doesn't have to happen like that, but it happened with me. And when some people close to me tried to tell me that I had lost some of the fire and passion and power and the spirit that I once had, I was very critical towards them. Because in certain ways I had grown, in certain ways I had matured, in certain ways I was wiser, in certain ways I did have a more biblical world perspective and a greater heart to help the poor and the needy. However, without question, I was personally backsliding. Without question, my intimacy with God was a fraction of what it had been. And look, not everyone is going to have 6 hours to spend with God a day. I understand that. But I'm talking about a whole year could go by, and I didn't spend one quality hour in prayer in a year. A whole year could go by, and I didn't spend one day in fasting, which showed a real lack of discipline. I still shared the gospel, but not with the passion that I did. The joy in the Lord that I once had was really lacking. I began to see an erosion of even some of my moral standards. Oh, maybe on a smaller level, but it was still shocking. And God began to convict me in 1982 that I was gradually backsliding. It wasn't easy to see that. It was painful to see it. It was grievous to see it. It got me to the very core of my being to realize that in the name of growing in God, in the name of wisdom, in the name of maturity, I was actually gradually backsliding spiritually. That's a humbling thing. And thankfully, the change did not come overnight, because I said to myself, you know, I've done this a few times over the years. I'll get all zealous. I'll fast for a few days. I'll pray like a man on fire. And then a few days later, I'm back in the rut again. I knew it had to go deeper than that. And over a period of months, God began to convict me. He began to show me. And friends, don't be afraid of stark spiritual honesty. I remember being at a meeting, and as God began to show me things, I was at a meeting with 18, 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden. The famous evangelist was preaching. We were singing an old chorus that some of you may remember, "Let's Just Praise the Lord," popular especially in charismatic circles probably. And we're singing this song, almost 20,000 people worshiping the Lord together, and I felt a faint sense of God's presence. Now understand, I don't base my faith on feelings. I don't base my faith on feeling intimate. I'm just telling you that there was a joy I experienced, an intimacy with God I experienced, a profound peace, a profound fellowship that I had experienced in the past that I was not experiencing at that time. That I'm being as flat honest as I can be. And I knew it. I knew it. And as we worshiped the Lord, I felt a faint sense of this presence. And I thought, this is terrible. I'm here with 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden worshiping the Lord. I feel a faint sense of God's presence. And this is the most I've felt it in many a month. And it used to be that every time I'd go into a service in our little church with 50 people and sing these old hymns, I was full of the joy and presence of God, man, infinitely more, it seemed, than what I was experiencing then. I realized, man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, okay, take one step in the right direction each day. That's what I've got to do. And that's what you must do, my friend. If you're looking at your own life and realizing that something is wrong, that something is missing. And, you know, look, just like when you're overweight and you think, what am I going to do? I'm 50 pounds overweight. I'm 100 pounds overweight. Okay, you want to lose it in the moment. It won't happen. And you want to feel better about yourself in a moment, but it won't happen. However, if every day you go in the right direction, pretty soon you start to see some results, and those results encourage you to keep going, and pretty soon, wow, I'm starting to feel different. Let me encourage you. Let me urge you. Those of you who have left your first love, those of you who have departed from an intimacy you once enjoyed, those of you who have left a passion for the lost you once had, those of you who've lost the burden for dying world you once carried, those of you who no longer experience joy in the Lord, and it's not just because of rough circumstances, because you used to experience joy even in the midst of rough circumstances. Those of you who have lost spiritual power you once walked in, those of you that can't seem to believe God anymore the way you used to trust him, I want to encourage you, take one step in the right direction every day. What do I mean? Well, instead of praying 5 minutes, pray 10, and do your best to make it quality. Instead of not reading the Bible at all, read a chapter. Read it for 3 minutes. If you're reading one chapter, read two. If you haven't shared your faith with anyone for a month, just every day say, okay, Lord, just give me the right opportunity, the right set, and look to do it each day. You mess up one day, get up and keep going in the right direction. You know, I've learned, studied many languages, probably studied, I don't know, 13 to 15 different languages. Some of them I know real well. Some of them I know a little. And the principle of language study is a little a lot, a little a lot. Some of them I did a lot in a short time. That's the worst way to do it. A little a lot, a little a lot. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Don't try to become Superman, Superwoman overnight. A little a lot. make a turn, go in the right direction, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And as someone said, we take our human steps towards him, he takes his God steps towards us. There is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Well, let me wish you a blessed and happy New Year in Jesus the Lord. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the special New Year's Eve broadcast here on the Line of Fire. Not taking calls today, but as always, you can communicate with us on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And remember to take advantage of hundreds of hours of free resources on our website, askdrbrown.org. If you're not on our e-list, by all means, sign up. There are a whole lot of major things coming in the new year, some very exciting developments that we'll be sharing with you, some new resources that we'll be releasing, online classes you'll be able to take. So make sure when you're at AskDrBrown.org that you sign up on the homepage to be on our e-list. Okay, we've been talking about keys to making lasting change. It's an appropriate time to talk about it because many of us reflect on the year at the end of the year. Many of us look to the new year, and many make resolutions. Sometimes it's just cheaply done. Someone's sitting in a bar. They go, oh, I'll never get drunk again. You know, that kind of stuff that has no reality to it. I remember sitting in a dentist chair one time having root canal as a teenager, and it was just one of those times. I guess I thought it had to hurt a lot. And they gave me shots, whatever, it just wasn't enough. And I was really in discomfort. And, of course, I was attributing it to the candy bars I would always eat. And I kind of made a vow, you know, to myself, basically, when I get out of this chair, I will never have a candy bar again, which lasted until I got out of the chair. At that point, there was no more pain and went out and got a candy bar. That's how some of our New Year's resolutions are, to the point that we didn't remember them the next day. I remember one time living on Long Island, oh, this is over 25 years ago, the Lord spoke to me about something. I had an insight about something, and the Lord spoke to me, don't open my mouth about it. I was teaching in a ministry school. I had an insight about something that was going on there, and the Lord spoke to me, don't open your mouth. Don't share it with the director of the school. It's just not the time to do it. Don't open your mouth. Well, 1 week later, I was sitting with the director and happened to bring this up and told them. And I called Nancy and said, yeah, I was talking to him. And I said, thus and such. And she said, you said what? Because he was not particularly happy with what I had to say. And she said, you said what? I said, well, I told him. And then I went home and I looked at my note. I'd written it down. I journaled it 1 week earlier. Keep your mouth shut. That the Lord told me to, and I forgot. I absolutely forgot that 7 days earlier, God spoke to me clearly enough that I wrote it down. Keep your mouth shut. And of course, it shared it with Nancy, and she knew the better part of wisdom. Keep your mouth shut on this. Thankfully, God got us through the situation, and everything ended up working out. But I mean, can you believe that? That, yes, yeah, some of you are nodding because you've done the same thing. Yeah. Some wives are nodding, is looking at your husbands. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on. The point is, we can make these resolutions, and sometimes we really mean well, but there's just no depth. There's no, just like we say something and it just disappears in the air, like our words are gone. So I'm encouraging you in a few ways. A few critical things. Number one, be really honest. Be ruthlessly honest. Get alone with God. Spend time reflecting. Look at your life. Stop the music. Stop life long enough to reflect. To reflect and to look at where your life is and to say, honestly, is this where I want to be in God? Because let's be honest, more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. I've often shared this illustration, but years back, my schedule had changed. I was eating late at night. I wasn't eating a lot, but I was eating late at night. I wasn't eating the healthiest stuff. I was, perhaps it's an understatement, I wasn't exercising like I had before. I put on a little bit of weight. Nancy happened to notice it and just said, you know, just for my health is the biggest issue. And then being a good witness with, you know, weight and everything. And she just said, you know, it looks like you put a little weight on. It was a little, but I had. I said, you're right. Actually, I've noticed that. I have. I said, but I got a plan, which I did. 6 months or so goes by. She said, you know what? It doesn't look like you lost any weight. And I said, no, actually, you're right. I haven't, but I have a plan. Maybe 6 months, a year goes by. And she says, you know what? It looks like I actually put on a little more weight. I said, no, it's true. I have, but I have a plan. She looked at me and said, your plan is not working. And those words have resonated in my brain since then, and in my heart, my soul. And many times that's God's word to us. Pastors, that's God's word to some of you listening. Your plan is not working. Many of us individual believers, leaders, whatever sphere you're in, your plan is not working. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. Here's a revelation. Some of you like prophetic words. Here's a prophetic word. Nothing's going to change next year on its own. How do you like that? Nothing's going to change next year on its own. In other words, if we keep doing the same things, we'll keep getting the same results. So what do? We examine ourselves. We honestly examine ourselves before the Lord. And not to condemn ourselves, not to get hopeless, because there's always hope in Jesus. There is always hope in Jesus. That's the whole message of his death and resurrection. So examine yourself. Number two, take a step in the right direction every day. Whatever the area is that you know has to change, take a step in the right direction every single day. And if you mess up one day, don't make it like, now I have to take 9 steps the next. No, just get up and take that step. A step in the right direction, that determined step, whether it's getting up earlier, whether it's reading the word more, whether it's treating people differently, whether it's spending certain time in prayer, whatever it is, take a step in the right direction every day. All right? Next thing to do. If you are overwhelmed with busyness, if you are overwhelmed with, it happens with many of us, with, I'm reading a book now, The Tyranny of Email. I'd have more time to read it if I wasn't answering and sending so many emails. And it makes some profound observations, and I want to read it through and examine that area of life. It's also a subject of debate here on The Line of Fire, emails, blessing, or curse. So just something that we'll be talking about right here in the coming days. All right, so look at your life. Some of you are working 2-3 jobs just to pay the bills. Some of you homeschooling your kids and you got a big family. Some of you, you're fighting health issues and just get through a day is a challenge. But I want to encourage all of you to look at your lives and to ask yourself, what are you doing at the end of a day? What are you doing? What have you produced? Where are you in terms of God's priorities for your life? And make a list of everything that you're involved with. Okay, you might be super busy with church activities. You might be super busy with community activities. You might be super busy just surfing the net. You might be super busy playing video games. You might be super busy social networking. Whatever the thing is, make a list of all of the major activities of your day, of your week, okay? And then prayerfully put them in priority order. Prayerfully put them in priority order. Begin to list them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to have whatever it is, and then begin to lop off the non-essentials. If one of the big issues in your life is I don't have time to do the things I believe are important. I don't have time to do the things I believe God's calling me to do. This will not necessarily work for every single situation, but for most situations, this is a key way to get back on track. Make a list of everything, of everything you do in the course of a day, course of a week. Write it out, then begin to prioritize it by number, and then begin to lop off the non-essentials. Back with more. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown wishing you a blessed new year in the Lord. And we're talking about change. We're talking about keys to bringing about lasting change, practical things that you can do that'll help you to change and move forward. Let me strongly encourage you to visit our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online library. Everything there is free for you. Look at some of the messages, some of the audio messages on backsliding. Look at some of the messages under the category of revival and things that'll help you look at your own life for purposes of spiritual growth. These are messages that'll challenge you, that'll encourage you, that'll strengthen you, that'll be like someone standing behind you and pushing you forward. That's one of the things we're here to do in God, help equip you to be a world changer, which means you need to know God and be strong in Him in your own life. Okay, we've talked about the importance of honest self-examination. If you missed any of the show, just catch up with it later online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You'll be able to catch up on this show or past shows. And, of course, you can subscribe by podcast. So honest self-examination, turning in the right direction every day, prioritizing the things that must come first, put the first things first. Let me give you a great illustration about this. I've shared it before, but when I heard it, boy, it really impacted me. Friends saw a demonstration. There was a man had a vase, big vase, and he took a bunch of rocks, good size rocks, and put it in this vase until it was right up to the top. And he said to everyone in the audience watching, "Do you think the vase is full?" And they all raised their hands and said, "Yeah, it's full." Then he said, "Okay, watch this." And he had a large amount of pebbles, and he took the pebbles, and put small rocks. Had a large amount of small rocks, and he took these small rocks and dropped them in into the vase. And they started to fall into places where the big rocks couldn't get. And okay, now everyone thinks it's full. I mean, he got every last one in, and okay, we think so, but not quite everyone was sure this time. Then he took the pebbles and began to pour the pebbles in, and the pebbles could go to places where the little rocks couldn't and the big rocks couldn't. And now this thing, it looks like it's filled to the brim. Everyone think it's filled now? Yeah, I don't know. Is there any? I think so. Then comes out with sand and pours the sand in until this thing is just, it's filled. There's no more room for anything. How many think it's filled now? Okay, I guess it's totally full. What was the lesson? Well, my thought was there's always room for more. Wouldn't you think that was the lesson? No. The lesson was put the big rocks in first, because unless you put the big rocks in first, you'll never have room for them. So I ask you, what are the big rocks in your life? What really matters? What are the things that are non-essential? What are the things that can wait? What are the things that don't have to be done? What are the things that only have to be done in our own minds? Come on. Kids are only going to be with us for so long. The time that we have to be together as a family, the quality time invested, a husband and wife in one another. Above all, the time you invest alone with God. Some have talked about when praying and meeting with God, it's like you're making a deposit in the bank. Think of the day you stand before Him with this massive bank account. Where did it come from? Where did these rich rewards come from? Where did this impact in other lives come from? It came from your time alone with God. Put the big rocks in first. What are the big rocks in your life? What is more important than intimacy with God? What is more important than quality time with those close to you? What is more important than touching those that don't know Jesus, reaching out? What are the big rocks in your own life? Look at them, prioritize them, and put them first, and then check yourself on a regular basis to see if you're really doing it. Don't just close your eyes and hope that something's different. Look to see if you are really doing it, really being consistent. And again, don't get condemned if you're not. Don't get condemned if you're not. Say, okay, by God's grace, change is going to come, because our Heavenly Father is for us, not against us. He's not out to destroy us. He wants to help us and bless us. And then that leads me to another point. Cry out to God for grace. Cry out to God for grace. I'm going to talk about this, the rest of this, well, right up until the break and then the next segment. We need God's help. We need God's power. It is essential that we understand that this is not just human religion. It is essential that we understand this is not just good works. It is essential that we understand this is not just us trying to do our best. It's essential that we understand that it is God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, as Paul writes in Philippians, the second chapter. It is essential that we understand that He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion, as Paul writes to the Philippians in the first chapter of that book. It is essential to understand that God's grace is at work in us presently, not just to save us, but to keep us, to carry us, to strengthen us. We'll talk about leaning on God's grace, taking advantage of God's grace when we come back on a special New Year's Eve broadcast right here on The Line of Fire. Blessings to you on this New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2010, as we enter year 2011 on our Western calendars. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Not taking your calls, however, you can always reach us through our website, askdrbrown.org. If you've got something you'd love for us to talk about in the new year, a question you'd like for us to tackle, by all means, write to us through the website, askdrbrown.org. Just click contact or through our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. We've been talking about keys to bring about lasting change in our lives, the importance of honest self-examination, the importance of a little, a lot, turning in the right direction, even a little, every day, every day, every day. The importance of prioritizing what really matters, of putting in the big things first into our day, to making sure that that which is most important comes first and is not left out, not squeezed out by other non-essential things. And sometimes we've got to be ruthless with our schedule and go through hardcore withdrawal to things that we're addicted to, things that we become habituated to that are absolutely non-essential. And we've talked about the importance of leaning on God's grace. Years back, I was just going through a real internal crisis. I just knew change had to come in my life. I just saw so much flesh in my own life, and I knew that I had to change in certain key ways. I was a believer, and how do you do it? How do you do it? Sometimes you feel like you're in a rut, and I began to appeal to God. I cried out to him, and sometimes that's what you got to do, friend. You got to start somewhere. A little, a lot is part of it. But sometimes it starts with a desperation. It starts with a crying out. It starts with a turning to God, because there is no tomorrow. And I cried out, and I cried out, oh God, demonstrate the power of the gospel. Demonstrate the power of the blood of Jesus. Demonstrate that this is different than other religions, that this is different than just human willpower working with a system. Demonstrate the reality of your spirit and your work. And, oh, he brought me to deep conviction. Oh, he has his ways of doing this. It's not always just like walking through a rose garden, you know, smelling the beautiful sin. No, sometimes he does surgery. Oh, but he changes us. He really does. Appeal to him to demonstrate the power of the gospel in your life. Look, maybe you've been raised in church all your life. Maybe you fought things since as long as you can remember, wrong tendencies, desires. And you say, yeah, but I'm a Christian. I go to church. Maybe you haven't really experienced the reality of God. Maybe you did in the past, but you've lost sight of it and walked away from it. May I strongly encourage you, may I urge you, to get alone with God and to say, God, demonstrate the power of your spirit in me. Demonstrate the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Demonstrate what it means that I've died to sin and I'm alive with him. Demonstrate what it means that the same spirit that raised him from the dead lives within me. Demonstrate, God, what it means that your grace, which means God's ongoing help and support, is sufficient. And then build on that communion. We build on that through spending quality time in his presence, through enjoying him and just being bathed by his word, by his spirit, by fellowship with him, just immersed in God and putting these things in front of us, his word, and not in some ritualistic way, but just to experience life. Just think of it as eating something healthy every day, getting rid of the unhealthy stuff and taking something healthy, life-giving, healthy, life-giving, healthy, life-giving every day. But out of that, strength will come. Out of that, new life will come. Make your appeal to God. I cannot live another year the way I've lived this year. I cannot go on the rest of my life the way I've gone on with my life so far. I'm appealing to you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Peter and Paul, God of Jesus. Demonstrate the resurrection power of your Son in me this coming year. Have a blessed, wonderful new year.